Hey everyone, good morning. Welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show, where the Teach Better team gets to join you live every single morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have a great conversation headed your way with, I would say, a guest, but I have to tell you, she's been in the Teach Better family for a long stinking time. She's a contributor. She has a ton to share to support educators, and I love personally learning from her. So if you're not familiar, this is definitely going to be one of the people that you're going to be adding to your network, reaching out to, and continuing the conversation even after our show. We'll be right back. Good morning. My name is Ray Hewart. And literally before we started this recording, I was just telling her that I haven't seen her in ages. I'm so excited to catch up. I hope that you are on your either devices, or maybe you have the show streaming on your TV, watching on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, or LinkedIn. Maybe you're listening on Teach Better Podcast Network. This is going to be a great episode. Do you mind starting off by introducing yourself for us?
Yes, I'm Eva Mead Ellis. I'm a reading specialist and literacy consultant.
And you have been a part of contributing to TeachBetter.com for some time. I'm so glad that you're here officially on the show.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's so fun. So tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, maybe even beyond education. You're an educator, but you're doing so many things to support educators. Where does that come from? Why is this a space that you choose to work in? Let us get to know you a little bit better.
Basically as an educator, I just kind of found myself looking to other teachers for support. I couldn't always get that support in my campuses. Of course, I had a teaching bestie because everyone really only survives in this field with a teaching bestie. But also I found myself like looking at blogs, seeking out that professional development that I knew I needed, but maybe wasn't being offered where I was at. And so during COVID, I found myself in a online conference myself and was like, oh, these people presenting, they do what I do. I could do this. And so I just kind of went for it and started with a course and then went with a podcast, mainly because, and my podcast is geared toward upper elementary teachers, because those teachers, they get all the different types of kiddos, all the different types of readers. And then they also have that extra layer of having to help them pass those state assessments. It's like a pressure cooker for them, but there's not always a lot of support for them. And so I wanted to be that support. And that just kind of came from me being the person that was spending a lot of time looking for resources. And so I thought, why not just make it easy for teachers and be that resource so that they don't have to look everywhere for it.
I love the one-stop shop, right? I'm here to support you. I'll give you everything I possibly can. And I vividly remember when you joined the podcast network, because I was scared of your podcast, because my nightmare would be teaching reading. I only had to do it once and I will never do it again. And I honestly would need your podcast so much. I'd be the best learner in the class. I would be sitting and taking all the notes. So in my opinion, you're teaching one of the worst subjects ever.
Well, luckily I don't feel that way, but it's a love for me. I didn't grow up feeling like a reader. I also have two dyslexics in my own family. And I just feel like, and I also in my spare time, tutor adult learners, who were kind of fell through the cracks, and need that support with their reading. And so reading is a passion. It's been a gateway for me for learning how to parent, to be an educator, and just do the different things in my life. And so I really feel that it's important, and it's especially important for teachers to feel supported in that role, so that they don't, I feel like sometimes with all of our shoulds, right, especially with the changing climate in literacy, there's not always support for how to get teachers from one place to another. And if they were anything like me, they're all or nothing people, and they'll land towards the nothing if they don't feel supported. And so I feel like that's where I come in, and I try to simplify things for them so that they can get to the part where they're doing the thing quicker. Mm-hmm.
Eva, it's so funny. Every time I talk to any teacher, whether it be on the Teach Better Today morning show or just in a meeting, or maybe I'm in a school and supporting different teachers in different classrooms, when they talk about their free time, there's always air quotes. Like, it doesn't, universal, doesn't matter where you live across the country, around the world, when teachers say, well, in my free time, it's always air quoted. Tell us a little about what your free time even looks like. Like, if an educator, if we're all right now this morning, maybe we have people listening who are driving to work or getting ready for their day. If I was to reflect on my free time, it's either going to be, I think it's always absurd hours. So like either early in the morning or really, really late in the evening, or sometimes it's like when you have an awkward amount of time between two things and it's like, you just use it to like take a breath, right?
Yeah, so most of my free time, air quotes again, is I try to make time in the morning to work out. It's a grounding for me, just to help me get started with the day. And then also in the evenings, it's hanging out with my young adults and watching whatever streaming thing that we're watching at the time. Right now, it's Vampire Diaries. And then I try to make time to read and just do things that I enjoy. Sometimes it's just doing like a word search while we're watching TV instead of scrolling. So just trying to be intentional with that time, because you're right, that we don't have a lot of free time. And so how we use that time is important.
Yeah,
but I also started tutoring because I felt like I wanted to give back, and the tutoring was virtual. And so I could do it on my own time.
Well, and isn't that the nice opportunity that we have now, especially with the new year, that we can kind of list out some good choices for us of things to do when we have that quote unquote free time, and have it be things that provide us with a variety, but are all healthy for us, right? So whether it's tutoring because you like to give back, but you choose to do it in a way that still works for your schedule, like virtual, it's a great, great option. I actually know a lot of teachers in our community are doing that on the side, which is a great outlet to support others. And then other things, like there's a show that you really like that makes you better after you watch an episode, or I'm a doodler. Like one of the things on my list is to watercolor, or honestly, if I could admit this without any pressure, I'm trying to learn the piano. And it's not always what I should be turning to, because either it's the wrong time of day to be playing a piano, like at 5 a.m. in the morning, terrible time, or it might be a little bit too stressful, but I actually have really enjoyed it. So I have that on my list. It gives me kind of a variety depending on how I want to use my quote unquote free time, you know?
Yes. And I also like hiking, like when I make time for that. When I started off last year really good, like going on Eventbrite and looking for guided hikes and like scheduling that time, but I kind of fell off. So that's one of my goals for the new year, is to get back into trying to do a guided hike once a month, because I really do enjoy being outdoors, and that forest bathing thing that they talk about, it's real. It really does help.
Where do you live that you can go hiking right now? Are you in a warm place?
I am. I'm in Texas. So like our idea of cold is like 50 degrees and we're breaking out the jackets.
I would love that though. Like a hike at 40 or 50 degrees, actually, I think is like my ideal, right? Like, or like even 60 I could do, but 90 degrees, 100 plus degrees, I may not be a good hiker. I might whine the whole time. Well, I'm excited to keep this conversation going. I do want to go a little bit deeper into the support you're actually providing to educators, maybe some strategies educators can keep in mind as they head into their day ahead, and you know, maybe even think about how we're going to be using our free time strategically as we head forward into our day. But we'll be right back. are back with our Teach Better Today morning show, and we're here having a conversation about so many different things. One thing I do want to focus on, though, is supporting our secondary teachers, our upper, you know, elementary, even middle school teachers with the concept of reading. Now, I will tell you, and I said it earlier, that makes me very nervous, but thankfully we have a guest on the show who is an expert and is constantly trying to share not only tips and tricks and strategies, but things that haven't worked and the ideas of how we can best serve our students during any given time throughout the year. So Eva, if you had to reflect on maybe something that you feel like really is impactful for educators when you work with them, or something that you find yourself saying frequently, what comes to mind?
Especially in this age of like box curriculum being handed down to teachers, or in the age of watered down PLCs, right, where we're all like taking a subject and one person's planning it and we're just kind of being gifted those plans. My main thing is know what you're teaching, right? So like take the time to really own the strategy or the skill and try it out yourself before you're teaching it to kids. And it sounds really simple, but it just gets super busy. Teachers are, you know, they're overwhelmed and they don't feel like they have time. But then if you don't make the time and you get in front of kids, that's when the lesson's not hitting. That's when the kids are getting out of control because maybe you don't have your things ready. And so that's definitely something I find myself saying a lot, is like, even if the curriculum is being given to you or the lesson plans are being given to you, you need to make them work for you. And you're not going to be able to do that if you don't look at them ahead of time. And if you don't at least walk yourself through how you want to teach it, because maybe that is a veteran teacher who's planned that lesson, or that box curriculum is being written by an expert, but they're not an expert on how you learn and they're not an expert on how your students learn.
It's extremely important. I don't know if this was common or maybe just more acceptable, but when I student taught, I worked with a teacher who would literally plan the next day's lesson after school the day before. So it was like the students would leave, the bell would ring, and then the planning for the next lesson, for tomorrow's lesson, would begin. And I found it to be stressful, to be honest. And I also felt, and maybe the teacher at the time didn't feel this way, but for me, I felt so uneducated on how we knew what the next thing to teach was. Because mm-hmm. It kind of seemed like we were following this book, and mm-hmm. It kind of seemed like maybe there was some sort of rhyme or reason, but more or less, it just felt like almost a gut reaction. And I think teachers' guts are so, so, so valuable, especially in giving feedback. But being able to use the backwards design to identify where you want to go and kind of give yourself some time to get there so you can be strategic every single day, I found was always the way that I allowed my students to actually reach success in the end. So kind of that long-term planning, knowing the lesson ahead of time, not just 24 hours, but being able to really see the direction you're going, for me, allowed me to give better feedback. My stress level was lower. Mm-hmm. I know it's easier said than done, depending on what hurdles people have, but I'd love to help work through those hurdles if people maybe listening haven't found those solutions yet.
Yes, and definitely when, because I host office hours for my teachers after school once a week. And so when they come and they're like, Eva, I just need help with figuring out my reading block, or I need help with, I've fallen off the wagon of scripting out my mini lesson. Can you help me get back on track with that? And whenever I can help them do that, their stress levels do go down. And it's because I think it's just our fight or flight in that moment, we're just so overwhelmed with all the other things that we forget how much capacity or how much bandwidth that gives us back when we do that planning. And so then we have the energy for the other things.
Yeah, it's interesting. I do know that there are educators, I think I fall into this bucket myself, that do work well off the cuff, right? Like, hand me the topic a few minutes before, I'm going to be able to figure it out. I think it's that difference between you can figure it out, but you'll be more successful if you give yourself the time beforehand to be strategic, right? No one's saying you can't do it, like you're incapable, but think about how much better prepared you'll be for your students. And hopefully that stress level again continues to subside so you can have the capacity to support other areas that you know every teacher has.
Yes.
Is there anything else that you feel, maybe another helpful strategy you feel like educators should keep in mind as they move forward throughout their day, throughout their week?
Just not to be afraid to ask for help, whether that help is in your own building, right? And sometimes I've run into this. I had a literacy coach that I asked to help support me with my students. I just had come back into education after being out to have my family, and they flat out told me they couldn't help me. And so that does happen. So I want to acknowledge that, because sometimes we're quick to tell people to ask for help, but we don't acknowledge that sometimes people aren't helpful in your own building. But also, I mean, I know there's people online, you know, relationships I've built on Instagram, and you can find me at Miss Eva Mead Ellis on Instagram and message me and reach out to me. I've helped people that way. I help people through the podcast. That's how I got a lot of help, was reading. Back then it was blogs, right? Everybody was blogging. And so that's how I found a lot of support, was blogging, was looking at blogs. And so asking for that support, but also that comes with monitoring your own learning. Like, really, we get so in the trenches and the weeds, and we get so overwhelmed that we forget to ask ourselves, like, how are we really doing? Do I really even understand the thing I'm teaching the student? And then if you don't know, or you can't find the answer, asking for that support, because the people who you feel comfortable asking more than likely want to help you and want to help you find the answers, and they want you to be successful.
I think that's a beautiful reminder as we continue forward in our day, looking at not only choosing to be prepared, know your content, get ahead of the game, but then also choose to ask for help. And if you come across certain situations where the people you've asked and reached out to can't support you, let's find the other people that can. There are people that can support you. And so I love the shout out of your Instagram handle. I want everyone to connect with you, whether you're reaching out on Instagram or sending someone on the team an email. I mean, there's somebody out there that can get you the support you need. If it's not in your building, then I love the suggestion that it might be virtual, right? Go online to who's writing blogs, who's producing podcasts, and how can we make sure that everyone in our community continues to get the support that they need? Really, really good reminders. I appreciate that. Before we wrap up our conversation here, do you mind sharing how our community can stay connected to you so they can reach out for that support?
Yeah, so my podcast, which is a part of the Teach Better Podcast Network, which is the Reading Teacher's Playbook, I produce weekly podcast episodes. That's definitely the best way to connect with me. And there's over 70 episodes for you to listen to there. I have a website, which is www.evymedellis.com. And on there, you know, I have courses that you can get on, resources. And of course, I have my free guide on how to craft a mini lesson, which is a great place to start if you're wanting to plan. That's a great way to get support and connect with me.
Ooh, so many good options. I'm sure many, many more as you continue to dig through all the resources that she just listed. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your insight. And I'm so excited for our community to continue this conversation with you, either in your direct messages or via a blog.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
So fun. For everyone, we hope you have an amazing, amazing rest of your day. And we will see you next time on Teach Better Today Morning Show. Hey, Teach Better community, thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today morning show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.